Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to Season 7, premiere episode. Episode 1 of Season 7, it's called Descent Part 2, directed by Alexander Singer, written by Rene Echevarria, and it aired back on September 20th, 1993. This is the conclusion of the two-part Descent episode, where Data gets emotions, Lore commands the Borg to attack the Federation, and everything else goes haywire. Modi Operandis is here to join us. He joined us for part one, and he's here to wrap up part two right after this.
There you are, brother.
Here's the visor. May I ask why you wanted it?
Thought it might look good on me.
What do you think?
Maybe we should work on your sense of humor, brother. Actually, I was thinking LaForge's implants might make him an ideal test subject for my experiment. All of the Borg you have experimented on so far have suffered extensive brain damage. Using the humans to perfect the procedure will allow us to prevent any further Borg deaths.
Hey, dude! Welcome back to the podcast. I feel
that was the weirdest "Hey, dude!" ever.
Hey, buddy! That's
hey,
the
not rusty at all.
We haven't. I know the podcast hasn't been super regular or anything, but this is probably the first time I'm recording a podcast in at least a month and a half, maybe two months, because we recorded Descent Part 1 a very long time ago.
Yes, I forgot that we even did it at that point.
I know, we both had to go back and rewatch the episode, and you actually listened to the podcast, which I didn't do again, but that's good. It gave us a little time to think about it. But yeah, we're back. Podcast is back. Hopefully back on schedule for everybody who was very patient while I was away. But anyway, let's get into Descent Part 2. How do you think the time away from watching Part 1 affected you and how you viewed Part 2, if anything?
Every time I see an episode like this, I always think of like how the actors must feel coming back like months later, picking up right where they left off. Because, I mean, obviously they don't record it back to back. They wait till the next, recording season to do this. So it's like you kind of like notice little mannerisms have changed a little bit between episodes, especially watching them back to back. I don't know. They weren't too rusty though. It looked like they fell back into their paces pretty well.
They did.
They all the characters pretty well.
They all have suntans and their haircut is slightly different from what it was before. But yeah, it is weird to have that long break into it. I think I was more positive on Descent Part 1 2 months ago, and rewatching it this time, I think it knocked it down a little bit, in my opinion. And I don't think Descent Part 2 is any better. And I think as a whole, the whole Descent storyline is kind of garbage when it's all said and done.
It really isn't that great of a series finale or a season finale and an opener either.
No, not that great of an opener. So I mentioned before we started recording that someone, a couple comments on the podcast YouTube page had mentioned that they were disappointed that in the first episode, we didn't talk about the sort of Admiral and Picard scene where she chews him out a little bit for sending Hugh back.
Yeah.
And
the reason for that, I think, is nothing comes of it, though.
Right.
Like, this never comes up again for them. It's hilarious, like, oh, you screwed up, this is all your fault kind of thing. It never comes up in the series again.
And outside of the series, I think that the reason... I think it's funny that people mentioned that as the thing that they wanted to hear about, because to me it makes it... It's sort of a crystal clear example of why this isn't a good episode pairing, because there's two things going on in Descent Part 1, right? You've got Data sort of getting emotions and meeting Lore again. And then you've got Picard's guilt about whether or not he did the right thing with Hugh. And both of them don't get reconciled at all. Like, they're totally forgotten by the time that the second episode rolls around. Like, Picard is no longer concerned about what he did was the right thing.
Right.
And it's such a weird... You can tell they left it on such a cliffhanger, part one ends with, we are going to destroy the Federation, and they never mention anything about that in part two.
We're not quite sure what our plan is here, but we're definitely together, and we're definitely going to destroy the Federation. You can count on that. Except for when we forget about it 6 months later.
The Sons of Sing or Sung have failed to remember what they've done. But I think that's just like the perfect example of why it's kind of a shitty episode. Those were the themes that they could have run with, and ultimately, yeah. This storyline has no theme. It's not about anything.
No, it's not. It's about, I guess, the parallel I got was it's kind of like an allegory for like a fascist regime taking power and how it works, mm-hmm. kind of thing, of lore coming in and taking advantage of the confused Borg.
Right.
And I was like, okay, this is like kind of like a fascist rising kind of allegory here. And it gets all of like the racial purity, and it gets all of the, you know, the weird experiments you do on your own people, and it has all those little trappings of, you know, the like the Nazi regime, but it doesn't stick with that at all. It doesn't like keep exploring that idea. It just kind of plays upon that.
Yeah,
that's probably the most interesting thing about it, I suppose. But yeah, like you're saying with Picard's questioning of if I did the right thing, he doesn't even take the time to really question that in the episode. I think like it's brought up in the meeting. He's like, I did the right thing. My conscience told me to do this thing. He's never like really questioning it. He's just been told, and she raises an interesting argument for, you know, murdering one to save thousands kind of thing.
Yeah.
But they never explore that either in the episode in part one here.
No. No, they don't. They don't.
They don't bother.
They don't bother carrying it along. Like, there's no... By the time the second part of this episode rolls around, it's really... forgotten what it was trying to say, if anything, in the first place, and it ends up seeming really silly. I don't understand the motivation for anything that's going on. I liked your point about Lore being sort of a fascist dictator. I noticed he's wearing basically like Kevlar armor.
What is up with that?
Yeah, in this episode, which I guess ties into what you were talking about, but it sticks out as very odd to me.
Why does he have abs? Why is he nabs? Yeah. But I went back and actually I watched some scenes from when Picard was Locutus of Borg here, and he had abs also in his suit. Like, why are they giving all the Borg guys abs all of a sudden?
Especially
when you know
scrunches.
These aren't ab gentlemen. There's gentlemen out there that have abs, and these are not those guys.
Right. You wouldn't assume if they took their shirts off that these would be guys with ripped abdomen.
He's not fat, but I guarantee he doesn't have a six pack.
It's there's a good point. They do like to do that stuff. I think a lot of it ties into sort of Lore himself is not particularly like Lore is not interesting in and of himself outside of this episode. What is? Can you tell me what Lore's ultimate plan is here? Like, what's he trying to do?
Yeah. I was about to say that it doesn't seem like he has one. It seems like one of these kind of people that just. Power for the sake of power, chaos for the sake of chaos. I still don't quite know. I don't think he actually even like is drinking his own Kool-Aid here as far as like believing that he's the future of the universe. You know,
right.
Like, that artificial intelligence is the future. It doesn't even seem like he fully is a true believer in that.
Right.
It seems like it's just the line he's carrying for his regime.
Yes.
But it doesn't seem like he's a true believer.
No, I mean, he starts off saying he's going to destroy the Federation. That quickly turns into... The Borg are trying to become pure artificial life forms, and therefore I'm basically a god to them. Mm-hmm. And then it turns into I'm going to experiment on the Borg. And then it turns into to prove myself to the Borg, I'll kill my brother. And he's just like, he's all over the place in whatever he's trying to do. And this is Lore's obviously final episode because they dismantle him after this. But it's kind of a disappointing goodbye to a character that's been there since the first season.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't. I even feel like they were trying to go for something when he says, "I love you, brother," at the very end. It's like,
which you don't know if it's a lie or not. I mean, you might just be saying anything at that point. But yeah,
you'd have
they
to
don't
assume
even like
it's
explore
a lie.
That idea of this being like a brotherly thing. He wants to like he does actually truly want to rule the universe with his brother for some reason,
right?
And that doesn't even feel like because then again, he's to prove himself to the Borg. He's never conflicted about killing his own brother.
Yeah.
So what's his goal here? I mean, okay, I could buy. You want to be able to rule the world, rule the universe with your brother, but then you're not going to ever threaten to kill him. I don't know. Nothing lines up with Lore in this one. His motivations are unclear, and I don't I don't know if they ever even bother to think about what his actual motivation is here.
I think everyone's motivation is entirely... I think that no one really knows what this episode is about, especially Data, who... His entire arc feels really, really wrong to me on like a lot of levels. And I didn't rewatching the first episode, I thought that his scene with the Borg Croesus, when Croesus like flicks on the emotion chip and like Data tells him he'd kill Geordi. I don't think that's a good scene anymore. And
no,
I think it's weird because it's like, I think what ruins it kind of is the Borg is obviously manipulating him with the thing that he flicks on in his arm, right?
True.
So it's not like Data's coming to this of his own volition, which kind of knocks the wind out of it. And then eventually, right. You know, it's never clear to me why Data joins up with Lore so quickly. And they try to explain it away as Lore somehow deactivated his ethical program.
Which came out of nowhere.
Yes.
I mean, they all of a sudden just made that up.
And then they get rid of it by having Picard give the line. He's like, well, Data's got thousands of programs. He's not going to he's not going to notice if this one stopped working. And it's like, what the hell are you talking about?
You know, he would notice that. He would be exactly the person to notice that.
Because that's what they were trying to get him to notice. You know, he would notice that that was different. It made no sense to me. What'd you think of Data's arc here? Do you think this is a good story for Data?
No, I don't think this is a good story for Data. Again, because I think I said it in the first podcast here, but it kind of just takes away his agency a little bit when he starts to get these manipulations from outside sources and starts to feel feelings that are clearly to us as viewers, they're not coming from within. He's trying to struggle with, oh, maybe I'm evolving or something like that. But we can clearly see that both times this has happened, the Borg have done something to him.
Yeah.
So we know that's not the case already as a viewer perspective.
Right.
And we're just watching someone just flounder in the dark about their own existence kind of thing.
Yep, yep.
And he's not going to... We know he can't arrive at any conclusions, really, because there aren't any to be had at the moment.
Right. He's not learning anything. He's just kind of going along with it, yeah.
Yeah. So, again, and with that scene, again, I did watch that whole first part again here now, just the other day. And I would agree, that scene, it takes weird turns, and... Yeah, to us as viewers, it's clear that Data's being manipulated by this chip, the wave, whatever, out to control Data.
Yeah, the carrier wave, like, whatever they call it, yeah.
He turns on a dime so quickly from this, like, naive little guy to, like, just emo anger.
Yep.
And
yeah.
Angst. And he's just, like, and it doesn't, like, we know that it's something controlling him, but it doesn't come apparent as far as the performance, even.
Right.
Like, we don't ever feel like this is Data acting out of character. It's trying to make it seem like it's acting within character, but not. I don't know. It's just strange.
Well,
and
he's
I don't
got
like
that,
it.
He's got that line sort of towards the end where he locks up Picard, not towards the end of the second part, he locks up Troy, Picard, and Geordi, and he's like, I am not your puppet anymore. And it feels so wrong to the character. Like, it's not something that Data
journal,
would ever
buddy.
Think. And just because he's getting... like shot with negative emotions, it doesn't make sense that his rational thought kind of goes away along those lines, like why he would think that or what he's doing. And then
right, what's he getting at? Like what are the crimes that they've committed against him that he's their puppet? Like he doesn't ever explain that. He just assumes that this is what Lore told me,
and he's
so
always
doing it.
He's always had an adversarial relationship with Lore, so why is he all of a sudden like,
right.
Oh, Lore is my good buddy here. He's going to teach me everything. It makes no sense. It feels like they just
even
had to
with
bring
his
Lore
ethics
back.
Turned off. Why is he trusting Lore?
Right, he should remember that Lore always fucks me over. So I'm not going to trust him again. Yeah, I think it's just such a letdown. They like another thing, like tying into what we're talking about, they just abandoned like the idea that Data got pleasure from killing the Borg is not explored whatsoever.
No. Nor is it really explained how like the point where Lore like takes away some of Data's emotions and all of a sudden like he's having like a addiction withdrawal thing.
Yeah,
and like that's like never really explained. This just makes Data seem so weak.
It
and
does.
Just weak minded this entire time. It undermines the entire character.
Yeah, I agree. He does come across as weak. Just he's like fiending for his emotions, which makes no sense why they would be addictive or anything like that to him.
Yeah.
It's just kind of silly. I think it's just such a letdown of what you're basically the episode says is that if you give Data emotion, he becomes Lore for some reason. You know, it's like it's very wishy-washy, and it's so anti what the character is, and it completely just sort of just castrates Data in a weird way. Mm-hmm. And it's just so silly and unsatisfying to watch. I don't understand why he's doing the experiments. The experiments on Geordi, well, they kind of hit the...
Oh, yeah.
I used to think those were a lot more intense when I was younger, but now, obviously now they're not really. He's just like sticking a little like styrofoam
thing. There's
just
electrodes coming out of his face that seem to be draining his brain power or something. I don't know exactly what's going on. He seems to be getting more tired as the episode goes on.
Yeah, getting into the... By the time the seventh season has rolled around, it's like, oh, Geordi is going to be the one who... Geordi is always the character who gets sort of critically injured in the episode.
Yeah. Always.
It happens all the time. It happened in Timescape. He was the one that got touched by the Romulan, remember? They had to freeze him. It just happens all the time. It's just these tropes are just coming back with such a fury. But I guess we also had a kind of a confusion in the first episode about what we thought about the Borg. The episode here, the second one, does make it clear that it's not the entire Borg race that was mm-hmm. affected by this. It seems like it was one ship. So
whatever Hugh came in contact with, it sounds like.
Right.
Yeah. Which I also did kind of like the resistance angle to the two warring AIs. I kind of enjoyed that, and I wish they would have explored it more.
You mean Hugh's group versus the
Hugh's group versus the insurgents versus the regime kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of liked that if they would have explored it more. They don't really explain why. So Laura took advantage of everybody while they're in their confusions and like their individuality states. They don't really explain how Hugh got them back under control himself, because
how he got his own group.
How does he have people that aren't like all messed up and confused about their individuality?
He doesn't.
Lord took advantage of it, but Hugh probably didn't. So
he doesn't sell himself as a real leader. I feel like Hugh was just stuck into this episode for no reason either. And it's weird to me that Riker and Worf, who I don't think spoke a word to him in iBorg, are the ones that meet him in this one.
Yeah.
And there's that weird scene where he's like, where's Geordi? He's the only character I know. And they're like, Geordi's not here, Hugh. And he never sees him. It's so weird. How can you not have a scene at the end where Geordi talks to Hugh?
Yeah. Like, they're like, oh, he left without saying goodbye to you.
he's gone, Hugh. He's gone. I don't know. You notice in the bad episodes, you start picking up all the little things. How do the two hypersensitive androids not notice that there are different Borg present? You know what I mean? When they're in that final scene where they're about to shoot and Hugh jumps out and sort of knocks Laura's hand away.
Also a good point, because he tells the one guy who is disconnected to reconnect to Krosis.
Yep.
Because obviously he can tell that he's not connected anymore. So they have that ability to tell.
Why were they still connected? I thought they were supposed to be individuals at this point.
Well, maybe, I don't know. I was trying to rationalize that myself and maybe Krosis is the only one that Lore's actually controlling, and he's just having everyone else latch onto his emotions or something like that, or latch onto his programming.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so like he's running them all off of that one guy, and then once he disconnects from Krosis, they go back to their trying to get individuality again. I don't quite know what the whole system is. I was trying to rationalize it, but it doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, either way. I think it might make more sense. Like, I think we're building things into the episode that aren't really there, but it ties into your sort of fascist thing. If he's Lore's like, now I need to know what everybody's thinking all the time.
No, that could be.
But they never say that. They never explain anything like that. So we're just left to not really understand why a group of individual Borg who are now acting independently still need to link to each other at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the whole Hugh thing was weird. The Riker and Worf find the building that everyone's in, and Hugh's group are right next to that building.
They're like in the basement.
Yes. In the dungeon of this building. I didn't enjoy Hugh's appearance here whatsoever.
No, they could have done more with that if they really wanted to set him up as a hero against Lore. They could have done that, but they really didn't.
They could. I mean, I feel that it ends up what they did in iBorg isn't even really all that impressive, because it's just a limited number of Borg that were affected by it, which they had to do, because it would have been devastating if the Borg were somehow undone by Hugh That would have been really unsatisfying. But
right.
at the same time, it just it felt so lame. It's just like Hugh's not. I don't believe Hugh is this leader kind who's going to go in hand to hand combat with the Borg. That all felt weird.
No, they could have tried that though. They didn't have to do him, like play him the way they did. I mean, he is kind of just thrown into this whole thing. He discovered his own identity. And then didn't really mean to cause all the problems for everybody, probably.
Right.
When he got back to the ship and reconnected.
Yeah. he had the best intentions.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It felt like they were forcing that. It's just like, you knew what you were doing when you sent us back. It's like, well, not really. We had no idea what was going on. We made
talk
a decision.
You and that Admiral should hang out because you guys could talk about how I was screwing everything up for both sides of this, apparently.
I would like to say one more thing about the Admiral scene. I think that scene is miswritten for the Admiral's part. And I'll explain that by saying, I think that the Admiral came across as too much of a difficult Admiral who was chewing out Picard. I think it would have made more sense if it was a sympathetic person to Picard who was like, next time you have to do that kind of a thing.
Yeah, like, actually put that on him and say, if you could have a chance to do this again, take advantage or something like that. Like, yeah, but she comes off so bloodthirsty.
Yes.
It doesn't work.
Right. You end up not taking her point because she's being so sort of vindictive towards him. When I think that she does have a point, you know, if it was expressed more softly, I guess, with like, you know, this is horrible, but the Borg are never going to stop. Like, they're going to keep coming and coming and coming. But then again, they just throw all that storyline away in the second part, and it doesn't matter for anything.
Nope.
Has Crusher ever taken control of the ship before? Has this happened?
I think this is the first time.
Okay.
As far as I know.
I know Troy has. I guess I'm thinking maybe of Remember Me, where she's on the bridge, but that's an alternate reality and not real.
Right.
What'd you think of Crusher? My wife actually chimed in as she was watching this thing. She liked it.
She was the worst captain I thought ever.
Of Crusher?
Yeah.
Why'd you think that?
She tries a experimental procedure that Geordi was like theorizing, and then it somehow miraculously works how she wants it to work by hiding in the corona of the sun or the star there. And somehow that miraculously works. And then
works very quickly too.
Without question, it worked right away. And then she turns around and tries a second experimental procedure that this new ensign that we've never seen before shows up and tries another experimental procedure never tried before or attempted.
Yep.
And somehow miraculously works. So she got just really lucky twice, and she'll like be remembered as the greatest captain.
I think
she got super duper lucky two times.
I think she lucked out by getting the most competent crew members we've never seen before.
Waiting to prove themselves.
Yeah, both of them were
the A-team to get out of here so they can prove themselves to the rest of the group here.
Both of them were excellent. And apparently Starfleet training is very good because you can just do stuff you've never done before and do it well, which is quite amazing.
No. That's basically it. You're like, oh, this is only an experiment. I just better not screw it up. He's like, yeah, better not screw it up.
I
think this is... Oh gosh, you guys are a mess.
I don't think
she was a very good captain.
No, I sort of, it's weird. Whenever someone not in charge someone who's not Picard or Riker takes command of the Enterprise, it always feels like it's not particularly impressive what they're doing. And I think Crusher's thing totally felt like kind of a waste of time. The whole point of that, I guess, is that they had to get rid of the Borg chip somehow. And they do it interestingly through the sun without ever mentioning that happened in a previous episode, which I thought was funny. They act as if it's a new thing. Well, that was the one that it happened in Suspicions, which was like two episodes ago. It's the murder mystery where Crusher is the Ferengi scientist who has the metaphasic shielding. That's what they were talking about.
Oh, that's the thing that they're calling back to.
Yeah, yeah. And they never mentioned that guy's name, which is shocking. They pass it off like Geordi invented it.
Yeah, that's the impression I got. I forgot about that episode.
Yep.
So that's what it passed off to me. Like, oh, that Geordi was working on metaphysic shielding. And I hope it works.
In his spare time.
Yeah.
And what's a nice callback or a nice touch is that, you know, the male tactical officer, the lieutenant, his name's Barnaby or whatever in this episode.
Okay, yes, yeah, yeah.
He is Joe Brill, who is the alien murderer in the Metaphasic Shielding episode. So
they brought it back, and he can reference the old thing. Yeah, great. Okay.
Very, very clever. Yeah. It's, yeah. I feel that the Crusher stuff doesn't really matter. They destroyed the Borg ship so easily. It was literally, yeah, they flew into the star, she did it immediately, and it blew up the ship, and that was it.
But also, they get into a, let's run away. And then it turns out we didn't have to run away. Let's go back. And then so it just turns into like you just wasted a bunch of time then, basically.
Yeah, right? It's a very boring narrative.
Yeah,
just going back and forth.
Run away. We don't have to run away. We can send a beacon. Okay, let's go back. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Fine.
Is there any way we can get back faster? And he's like, yes.
They don't really explain. She's like, oh, we have to get those people off this planet. Like, are they in danger? Like, you don't know. Like,
right.
This doesn't sound like Worf and Riker are in too much trouble right now. They're faring just fine down there.
And all things considered, it was like 40 people out of like a ship of 1,000. She's like, we gotta go back.
Right, you're putting 1,000 at risk. That's why you're a bad captain. That's the one.
It didn't make much sense. I thought in part one, Crusher getting in charge felt like such a, we're going to just end the season and make it, someone's going to have to fix this in a couple months, you know, like explain why Crusher's doing it. There was no reason for Picard to be on the away mission. I don't know why they sent so many people down on the away mission. That didn't make any sense.
No, yeah, we tackled this briefly in the previous podcast episode, but like, yeah, there's no reason for Picard to be down there except for that they want him to be on the show.
Yeah, he needs to be captured, basically. He needs to be dealing with lore and stuff like that.
Yeah, we need Geordi, we need Troy, we need Picard all there together.
Yep.
So how can we make that happen? What circumstances can we make this happen? And they can either grab them specifically or we can send everybody down there. They don't really build up. Like, if they had, like, built it up, like, we have to search this entire planet for, like, two guys. So we need to, like, fan out. And that's what they're kind of doing, I guess. They're sending a bunch of teams down there to
search a huge area.
I mean, you're searching a whole planet for some people. But at the same time, why are you sending the three top officers together in a single unit? Like, wouldn't you want to spread out the discipline to other groups? Riker leading a team of no names, and Worf leading the team of no names. Why do you send three top people together?
Yeah. In the first part, it's the one guy who's not a main cast member who gets captured at the end has like a great like 3-second camera shot on him before he gets lit up by the Borg, where it's like, oh yeah, you're done, buddy. You're not important enough to stick around here.
A lot of random like red shirt kind of body count in this one too.
There was
that happened twice, I think, in the first part and twice in the second part too.
Yep. In the first one, it's with a Borg board the ship, they kill the security guard, and Riker's just like, Frederickson is dead, and everyone just
it's Franklin. Franklin's Franklin. Dead. Franklin. Oh, Franklin, no,
not Franklin. Yeah, and then the guy at the end gets lit up. A lot of stuff like that. It's just it's a little too bad. I mean, I'll let you think about this while I talk for a second. What would you do to fix this episode? Because I do think this is a salvageable episode. So if you want to think about that, what I think I would do is you have to pick a track here. I don't think you can combine Data's emotion and the Borg storyline at the same points. I think you either have to do Data gets his emotion and he deals with the lore, or you do Picard and the crew have to deal with the ramifications of what they did with Hugh. And I think the Hugh storyline is more interesting, but it would not have any lore characteristics to it. And to save the Data part, well, for the Borg part, for the Picard, it would be about the accepting that they've made a bad decision, sort of type of thing, and like realizing that the thing they decided didn't have the outcome that they expected, and they've caused things to be bad and maybe have to fix it, blah blah blah. For the Data storyline, I think it should have been a more natural, he develops emotion and meets Lore, and there's a sort of conflict there about Data learning this emotion on his own and the sort of negative influence of Lore on him. And that would have been a better send-off for the Lore character, who here feels like he's just stuck into this story. I don't know. What'd you think? What's one way you'd improve this sort of descent storyline?
Oh, I had so many thoughts as you're talking there. No, I forgot them all. Okay, so you do the scene with the Admiral Picard getting chewed out by the Borg. You start with this in the beginning, basically. You maybe have Data arriving at some anger emotions on his own. The problem is you don't want to fundamentally change the character for future episodes is the biggest problem with that. You can't have him arrive at emotion on his own. It has to be some type of outside influence so that they can go back to normal next episode. But I would have maybe have him start to be the beginnings of anger, something like that. Like, you sense his anger for the very first time on his own. You have the scene with the Admiral getting chewing up Picard. It turns out that it's not Lore in charge of this fascist uprising. It's Hugh in charge of it somehow. So you have... Now Picard actually is questioning if he made the right decision by letting this guy have his own autonomy, seeing what happened from it. Even though it did kind of work out how they... It worked out okay. He still has his individuality. The emotion part of it wouldn't play in at all. Data would still be trying to figure out his own stuff. I guess with Data, what we'd have to do... We'd have to get him that emotion chip somehow so he can kind of have a progression of where he's making an actual choice between having emotion and being himself kind of thing. So, because that's where the agency in previous episodes for him and Lore came from. He was making a choice in those ones. But here, it's not really ever a choice. Like, Picard makes the choice for him by turning his ethical chip back on. And Lore's manipulating him into craving these negative emotions as pleasurable. So he's addicted to it. So he's never really making a choice that he wants emotions. It's always forcing his hand. So you need to, like, I don't know, somehow you get the chip into Data. Maybe Lore is there and forces the chip into him, and he has to, like reverse his programming against it and get rid of it. And then he's denying himself emotions for the rest of existence, basically. And that might be an interesting, you know, if you want to combine all these types of plot lines without focusing it on anything. That might not be how you do it, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as you were saying that, I think the tough thing about the Data emotion storyline, right, is that there's no real narrative to it. Like, what they do in Generations is, you know, the problem eventually becomes he gets, like, scared and he can't do stuff. And it's like... Mm-hmm. There's nothing interesting that I would want to see on screen about Data getting emotion. You know what I mean?
Right.
The way they try to get around it is, oh, he only feels bad emotion, so he'll kill people. And it's like, this is stupid. This is such a, like, betrayal of the character, and it makes no sense. And it's just, it feels lame. I think it's kind of a golden, it's kind of like an untouchable storyline that the character never should have gotten to at some point.
Right.
I was more happy with, remember Birthright Part 1, where he started to dream?
Yeah, that was actually pretty interesting.
That's much better than this.
Yeah.
Like, that's the end story for Data's emotion that I wanted to see.
That's a good wrap up. Because that, again, it becomes, he got zapped by a thing in that, and it started making him have dreams, but he still had agency in that. He still has making his own choices and deciding how he's going to deal with this stuff. It wasn't thrust upon him. It forced his hand in any of this,
right,
like it is here.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit better, I think,
now that,
as far as the character goes.
And this is just going to be a downward spiral for the rest of it. Like, they're going to give him the emotion chip in Generations, and then each successive movie after that, they just kind of forget about it more and more because it's so stupid. That's a Descent. Last thing before we go to final thoughts. Why is it called Descent?
No idea.
Good. Glad to hear that.
Maybe they meant dissent? Like dissenting opinions? That would make more sense.
Or they were just like, is this episode good? They're like, it's decent. It's like, I don't think so.
No, it's not. It's false advertising.
I have no idea.
I guess it's Data's descent into negative emotions. But it's not, again, it doesn't work because we already know from the outset that it's not him.
Yeah, is it a Borg descent into chaos? I have no idea why this is called Descent. It makes no sense to me.
Also, a lot of talking in this episode. Like, there's a lot of Lore trying to explain to Picard how he got to where he is.
Yes.
And Picard's like, I don't care, I'm moving on with this. And then Lore's like, no, I need to tell you about all this. And he's going back to the story. And Picard, like, three times tries to change the subject, it feels like. But Lore just keeps going on and has to tell Picard how this happened.
Well, yeah, Picard's trying to talk to...
A lot of,
to
telling, not showing here.
He's trying to talk to Data. And Lore's like, no, I'm going to talk to you. Lore says, I want to talk to you, like, three times. I feel that... Yeah. I feel everyone was a little bit rusty. I feel the direction was rusty. I thought the sets looked good in this one. You can tell that they have more money in this. Like, everything looks much nicer.
And they spent it all on Lore's suit.
Yeah, Lore's suit. They do that expensive the flyby. The ship flies, the Enterprise flies by the Borg ship, which is never done, and they did one of those. And the thing that made me think it was Rusty was the scene where Geordi somehow gets that little bit. Oh, no, Picard, after he kills the Borg, when they pretends to be passed out from hitting the thing, he pulls that little chip out. And he's like, Geordi, what is this? And Geordi says, oh, it's this.
To be the thing we need.
It happens to be the exact thing we need if you can just fiddle with it. And there's a shot of Picard fiddling with the thing, and it feels like someone forgot to say cut. He's fiddling with it for like 10 seconds.
Playing with it.
And it makes no sense. It's just like, I don't need to see the scene of him opening the thing. Like, just tell I'll assume that he fiddled with it.
Right. We can assume that. Also that scene reminded me that it's really, really undermines the dangerousness of the Borg when you can just grab a hunk of something on them, rip it off, and they'll be incapacitated.
Yes.
I mean, they have a lot of stuff hanging off of them all the time, and if one of those pieces just goes, he just grabs like a, here's a hose, grab that, pull it out. Okay, he's down.
I know, it gets
caught. Why are we scared of these guys again?
It gets caught on like the coffee table. It's like, oh, he's down.
It's like a long, like piercing chain. You don't want to catch that on anything. It's bad. Yeah.
I'll say that it was because Picard was the cutest that he knew exactly which pipe to pull. That'll be my justification.
We can retcon that in there. Absolutely.
All right, so I think we've talked Descent into the ground, so I'm going to take a break. We're going to play an audio clip. Me and Modi are going to come back and give our final thoughts and ratings for Descent Part 2.
I'm Geordi and Troy. The Enterprise is in orbit. I had them beamed aboard.
Lore is no longer functioning, sir. He must be disassembled so that he is no longer a threat.
Welcome back, Data.
Thank you, sir.
What made you change your mind, Hugh?
Perhaps my encounter with the Enterprise affected me more than I realized.
What will you do now?
I don't know. We can't go back to the Borg Collective. And we no longer have a leader here.
I'm not sure that's true.
Perhaps in time, we will learn to function as individuals and work together as a group.
Well, this is it. We've entered the seventh season, and we're moving on to what some people... it's a very contentious season, season seven. A very, very interesting season. Not a lot of great episodes. Some very interesting ideas, but a lot of sort of weird episodes. And Descent Part 2, we're going to give our final thoughts and ratings here. If you guys are on YouTube and you want to click the poll feature on the video right now, you can vote. Let us know what you thought of the episode on our scale of 1 to 5. Modi, how about you go first and let me know what you thought here. I think you gave the first one a 3. Was it a 3?
I think I gave it a 3.
3? Okay.
Yeah. And I might stick with that based on your scale for new listeners to season 7. The scale is episodes that, as a fan, you should probably watch. And if you're a 2, then it's you'd probably maybe skip it. 1 is a definite skip it. 4 is you'd have to watch it every single time. And 5 is if you want someone else that's not a fan to watch every single time. But this falls probably into the 3 wheelhouse for sure again. Same as before. I would go maybe with a 2.5 on it because it's not a great episode. But you still got to see it so you understand where we're at here now.
Yeah, you need to see it mostly for generations, I would think, at that point.
That's true.
I'm going to give it a 2, I think. I think it's like there's a lot just sort of wrong with it. It doesn't really sit very well for me. I don't like where they go with Data in this. I don't like where it ends up. I don't like any of that stuff. And it feels like all these plot lines just were thrown together without any sort of exit escape plan. And it's sort of disappointing, I guess. But there's only been one great season ender, season premiere. And that's Best of Both Worlds so far. So, I mean, it's not like the show really has a record of doing this all that well.
True.
Anyway, guys, thank you very much for listening. And if you're on YouTube, like and comments, appreciate it. Or on iTunes, rating, review, all that stuff. You can go to patreon.com/thepenskypodcast if you're interested in supporting the show. All that and more. There's links down below. You can click on that too. You can check out Modi's channel on YouTube. Modi, thank you very much for joining me.
Anytime.
He'll be back again. We've got a long way to go through season 7. And after that, TNG is over. On to the movies after that. But cool. Thank you very much for coming on, sir.
Thank you.
And guys, I'll see you next time.